Hi, this is Dan Steele with your WASA Legislative Report for Monday, February 13th. Week 6 in this 2023 legislative session brings the first self-imposed cutoff deadline. All original House bills must be passed out of their policy committee by Friday, February 17, to remain alive. This means all House bills have to be out of their House policy committees, and all Senate bills have to be out of their Senate policy committees. The next cutoff quickly arrives a week later, next Friday, February 24. All bills with fiscal impacts must be out of their original House Fiscal Committee by this date to remain alive. This means all House bills have to be out of the House Fiscal Committees, Appropriations, Finance, Capital Budget, or Transportation. Also, all Senate bills must be out of the Senate Fiscal Committees, Ways and Means, or Transportation. Remember, as always, bills that fail to pass these gates by the deadline are technically dead, as there are multiple ways to revive a dead bill, and budgets and bills with budget impacts, also known as necessary to implement the budget, or NTIB, are exempt from these early deadlines. Because of the coming deadlines, much of the action this week will be executive action, although a few key bills also will receive public hearings. First, however, let's catch up on action from last week following the February 6th podcast. On February 9th, the Senate Ways and Means Committee held a public hearing on Senate Bill 5311, the Senate Special Education Funding Bill. As the bill moved from the Senate Early Learning and K-12 Education Committee, there are three main components. The funding cap is increased from 13.5% to 15%. There are multiplier increases in all grades, pre-kindergarten, and grades kindergarten through 12. And there are adjustments to the safety net eligibility, including a link to regionalization, as we've discussed before. The total cost for this version of the bill is about $300 million for the biennium. On the same day, the House Appropriations Committee heard the House version of special education funding, House Bill 1436. We are looking forward to this hearing because the bill went straight to the Fiscal Committee, bypassing the Policy Committee, and this was our first opportunity to address the bill publicly. Requested by Superintendent Reichdahl, this is the full meal deal that would fully cover the cost of providing special education services if it were adopted. As introduced, the bill included three main components. The funding cap would be eliminated, not just increased. Multipliers would be increased in pre-kindergarten and grades K through 12 at a greater rate than was proposed by the governor or were included in the current version of Senate Bill 5311. And there was accountability language to mitigate the fear of districts over-identifying students as requiring special education. The total estimated cost was about $800 million for the biennium. Unfortunately, Superintendent Reichdahl's full meal deal was not heard last week. Instead, a striking amendment, which gutted the bill, was heard. The striking amendment would eliminate the funding cap. However, there would be a phased-in increase until it's fully eliminated in 2027-28. The pre-K multiplier increases were eliminated from the bill, and the K-12 multipliers were increased. However, they were increased above the governor's proposal, well, only because the governor included no increases. They were increased below the new Senate Bill 5311, and the increases were significantly less than the original proposal from Superintendent Reichdahl. The new bill also eliminated the OSPI accountability language and replaced it with a required performance study by the Joint Legislative Audit and Review Committee. Also of great concern is new language that states if a district's special education expenditures exceed its funding, OSPI is required to redirect up to 15% of the district's general apportionment basic education funding to special ed. So presumably a school district would not need to backfill a special education underfunding with levy dollars. Yet this plan would likely create a funding gap in other basic education programs which would require levy dollars. In short, this is just a shell game. Legislators could legitimately argue they are fully funding special education. However, this could be the greatest example of robbing Peter to pay Paul we've ever seen, as levies likely would be required to cover other basic education programs. A new fiscal note is not yet available. However, committee staff estimated $120 million expenditure and OSPI estimates a $160 million cost in 2023-25. Either way, this is horribly disappointing. While hearings on these bills are done for a bit, this is a great opportunity to connect with your legislators, specifically expressing your support for Senate Bill 5311, noting that it doesn't go as far as it should, and expressing concerns about the amendments on House Bill 1436. If you want to avoid the negative, you could also provide your support for House Bill 1436 as introduced, that would fully cover special education service costs. Another priority, pupil transportation, continues to be addressed. Senate Bill 5174 was last acted upon on February 2nd with a hearing in the Senate Ways and Means Committee. Has not yet been scheduled for executive action. Details on this bill are in our weekly legislative newsletter, This Week in Olympia, or TWEO, in particular the Week 4 issue. On the House version of pupil transportation, House Bill 1248, we have been hearing rumors that the bill's major formula revisions might be removed, with the bill only funding special passengers. Earlier this evening, that's exactly what happened. A major amendment was adopted by the House Appropriations Committee that removed all of the new formula language and inserts new language regarding special passengers. Specifically, it requires safety net awards to be provided to districts with a, quote, convincingly demonstrated need for additional transportation funding for special passengers, end quote. Special passengers continue to be defined as special education, homeless, and foster students. And if that isn't bad enough, the only original provisions that remain are the sections that require equivalent benefits to be provided to employees of transportation contractors. As disappointing as the new House Bill 1436 and House Bill 1248 are, there is a long ways to the session's end, and the Senate and House bills will start to merge at some point, hopefully with a positive outcome on both issues. We've talked a lot about transitional kindergarten, both here and in TWEO. House Bill 1550, the bill to move to a new Transition to Kindergarten program, or TTK, is set to be adopted by the House Education Committee. A major striking amendment, along with seven other amendments, have been introduced. It's scheduled for executive action in each of the committee's meetings this week. The first committee meeting of the week was earlier today. However, House Bill 1550 was not acted upon, and its assumed amendments continue to be negotiated. The bill is anticipated to pass the committee. However, it's unclear what form it will take. Regardless, this bill also has a long journey. We encourage you to continue to contact your legislators explaining your successes in TK and expressing your concerns with the bill that's currently on the table. There are many other bills on the docket this week that we could discuss. We'll focus on two, both of which were heard in the Senate Early Learning and K-12 Education Committee earlier today. Senate Bill 5668 would assist small school districts with less than 2,750 students to access skill centers. This is an equity issue for small school districts. The second bill, Senate Bill 5671, would revise the current methodology and implementation of the experience factor. WASA has been pushing for revisions of the experience factor since it was first implemented in 2018. The original idea was to replace the staff mix formula that was repealed in the 2017 McCleary solution. However, it doesn't suffice, especially in the form that it was adopted. The bill wouldn't solve all of K-12's funding problems, but it would help districts return to the practice of hiring the best staff rather than being forced to hire the cheapest staff. There's one other additional bill to add. Senate Bill 5059, Prejudgment Interest, which was heard in the Senate Ways and Means Committee last week, has not yet been added to an executive session list, although we believe it is likely to be moved before next Friday's cutoff deadline, and we continue to push against that bill. To close, we encourage you, as always, to engage in the legislative process. If you're searching for what to address, we would suggest any or all of the bills discussed in this podcast. Senate Bill 5311 and House Bill 1436 regarding special education, Senate Bill 5174 and House Bill 1248 regarding pupil transportation, Senate Bill 5668, Skill Centers Access for Small Schools. Senate Bill 5671, Updating the Experience Factor. And a negative bill, Senate Bill 5059, Prejudgment Interest. There are literally hundreds of other K-12 bills that we continue to engage on, but these are currently our main targets. If you're looking for a full list of bills, see the back pages of each week's TWEO. Wish you all a happy Valentine's Day, and thank you for listening.